Father, we thank you for this time of study. We ask for the anointing of God to rise up in every one of us because the Word says the anointing abides in you. So, Lord, we ask that anointing to rise up from our spirit into our soul. Lord, may we receive the engrafted Word of God that's able to save your souls. May we not just be hearers, may we be doers of the Word. May there be a divine transaction today. I want everyone to say this out loud. Holy Spirit, I grant you permission to challenge my thinking, change my life by the power of the Word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. All right, this is our third session in our Biblical Prosperity series. And I would encourage you to take notes. There is a place on the insert of your bulletin that you can take notes if you don't have a notebook with you. But again, our third session in our Biblical Prosperity series, and I want you to write this subtitle down. Today, we're really focusing in on what we call seed faith living. Seed faith living. And as we're going to discover faith, when you begin to see faith as a seed that you sow, you begin to see your faith as a seed that you sow, it makes faith very simple. Makes faith very simple. So often we use this religious cliche to people quite a bit, don't we? We say, well, just have faith. Or just have more faith. Well, that's, you know, what is that? Just have faith. Well, bless God, believe harder. That's kind of like, you know, telling a child to think harder. How are they supposed to validate that they're thinking harder? Are they supposed to get the harder look on their face? You know, just kind of, I said think. And that child's supposed to just kind of go, you know, and if I could just use that natural example in the spirit, we get people confused the same way. We say, just have faith. Where are they supposed to get the faith look? Have more faith. And we don't really explain how faith operates. And again, as we unfold this today, I think it will help you to see that faith is so easy when you begin to see that faith is a seed that you sow. Now, we've said, and I want to say some things by repetition that are important. We've said that true biblical prosperity does not focus on money. Now, that was kind of a loop-de-loop for a lot of people, you know, because so often they hear prosperity and they think money. But the Bible does not focus on money as the real issue of prosperity. And if you weren't with us, you may want to just start writing some of this stuff really quick in shorthand. True biblical prosperity is holistic in nature. That's a good word, holistic. True biblical prosperity starts on the inside, not the outside. True biblical prosperity is spirit, soul, and body. But it doesn't stop there. Yes, it will involve your finances. But the point is this, prosperity starts on the inside. Put your hand right here on your chest. I want everybody to say this out loud. I am prosperous in my spirit. Now keep your hand there because we're not finished. Watch this. If you're prosperous in your spirit, it's just a matter of time until it works its way out. You could be prosperous on the outside, and that's no guarantee that your inside is ever going to be changed. Everybody say this out loud. I have God's resources in my spirit. Everything I need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus dwells in me. Therefore, I'm rich. I said I'm rich. I'm prosperous. I'm blessed. Amen. Now you see, some of you say, well, you know, that felt pretty good. But it's like one old guy said, he said, I know the Bible says that God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I just don't know how to talk him into selling one of those for me to help me meet my needs. Well, we're going to be talking about that. If you remember, I gave you 5 core values. I gave you 5 core values for biblical success and prosperity. And the 4th one, somebody, I hear pages turning. I love it. Somebody tell me, help me preach. What was the 4th core value that I gave? To learn the principles of seed time and harvest. Now, that's where we're going today. I said the 4th core value is to learn the principles of seed time and harvest. Last week, I'm catching you back up. Last week, I gave you 3 levels of what? of prosperity and provision. We said there's manna provision. Everybody say manna. There's breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. But we really want to get over into the third level of prosperity called more than enough prosperity. More than enough. And I gave you a couple things that you have to have, and it's sure to give you a charismatic rush when you hear this. I said, if you're ever going to get into the more than enough, you're going to have disciplined living and disciplined giving. Ooh, did you feel it hit you? I said, disciplined living and disciplined giving if you're ever going to get into that more than enough level. Now, in your notes, we're starting new material right now. I want you to write this thought down, this heading. I want to look at a biblical overview of the seed principle. I want to look at a biblical overview of the seed principle. We're going to go rapid fire through the Bible from front to back, and I want you just to see the reality that all through the Scriptures, God loves the idea of the seed. Why? A seed multiplies after its kind. There's so many reasons why God loves the seed principle. Are you ready to go? Everybody ready? All right, Genesis 3, go to verse 15. Genesis 3, verse 15. Just after the fall, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to the devil here, to the serpent. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and, circle this, her seed. Everybody say her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, if you have some prophetic insight in your life, you'll understand that the seed of the woman is referring to the messianic seed. That is Jesus Christ himself. And when Jesus was crucified, it was as if the devil had bruised his heel, but Jesus, through his resurrection, crushed his head. Now hold your finger there because we're going to come back to this area in just a moment. Go with me to Galatians 3, and I want to substantiate this in the Word. Go to Galatians 3, and I want you to see the seed fulfillment that was promised there to Eve, Adam and Eve. Galatians chapter 3, go to verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's good. Everybody say that's good. So you've been redeemed. Verse 13. In Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing, mark it in verse 14, that the blessing, everybody say the blessing. Now, honey, this is your verse. You have been redeemed from the curse so that you could walk in the blessing. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his what? Oh, there it is. I want you to mark. There's the seed again. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not to seeds as of many. In other words, he didn't use the plural. He used the singular, the seed. But of one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. So there is the very fulfillment of the messianic seed promised in Galatians through Abraham. All right, now go to verse 29. I'm in Galatians 3. Go to verse 29. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed. Everybody say seed. And heirs according to the promise. Now, why is this important? Go back to Genesis now. Why is this important? It's important because there's only one seed. There's only one good seed from God's point of view. There's a lot of bad seed out there. There's only one good seed. The good seed is Jesus Christ. You say, well, where does that leave me? Watch this. If you have faith in Christ and you are part of His body, then, honey, you are part of the blessed seed. You're blessed. You've got that seed. And just as though God sowed His one Son into the earth, what happened through that one seed? A harvest of a many-membered body has returned unto Him. Go with me to Genesis chapter 8 now. Genesis chapter 8. I want to show you another verse. This is a very important verse when we study about seed faith living. Seed faith living. Genesis chapter 8, go to verse 22. After the flood occurred and the waters abated, God said this in verse 22, "While the earth remaineth..." How many of you believe the earth is still here? When you woke up this morning, was the earth still here? Well, you're here, so it's here. Verse 22, "While the earth remaineth," underline this, "seed time and harvest." Say it. Seed time. Notice you can't have a harvest without seed time. And if you have a seed time, you're going to have a harvest. They just go together like day and night go together. Verse 22, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Shall not cease. Now I want you to write this down in your own shorthand somehow. God is reminding us that there is a rhythm to life. Now this is very important for our study today. God wants you to understand that there is a rhythm to life. What kind of a rhythm? Well, when I go to bed, I'm counting on the fact that I will wake up. And when I wake up, the sun will be there. It'll be a new day. Everybody say a new day. Well, I go out and I'm spry and I'm chipper, and there I go out for the new day to conquer the day. By the end of the day, I'm ready to go to bed again. I'm tired. There's a rhythm to life. I go to bed. I'm tired. I'm weary. I wake up because it's going to be a new day. Well, there's a rhythm to life. Now, many of us have had the experience of having to work hours that are out of your normal body rhythms. I remember one time I worked a night job. You've heard me mention this at Wonder Bread Bakery in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Honey, the raisin bread is cooking all hours of the night. And there I was on the raisin bread line. I want to tell you something. I really never got totally adjusted to working the night shift. I can remember when I was a surgical assistant, sometimes I had to work at night. And it just throws your rhythm. The body has rhythms. It throws your biorhythms out of kilter. And you can't wait to get back into the rhythm of life. Now, if you can understand this in the Spirit there is a rhythm to life that revolves around the seed. Are you getting this? The problem is a lot of Christians, they never get into the rhythm of life. They only know about manna provision. They only know about breakthrough provision, but they never get into the more than enough provision because they never discover the rhythm of the Spirit. Oh, this is good. This is going to help you. Because some of you, the only time that you know how to get a miracle is when your back is against the wall. And I want to tell you something. God will give miracles when your back's against the wall. But it's a whole lot better not to have to have miracles, but to have blessings. Amen. Everybody say blessings. Blessings. See, a miracle is when, let's say Scott's kind enough to pray and intercede for Pastor Jason, and Jason's got his back against the wall, and I've gotten myself in a mess, and so Scott's over there believing God, and I get a breakthrough, and I'm like, hot dog, I got a breakthrough. Why? Because somebody was kind enough to pray for me. Or my wife prayed for me, or somebody prayed for me. Somebody helped me. God says, you know, that's good and well, and I'm glad you got blessed, but I'd rather you learn the rhythm to life called seed time and harvest. Learn how to, every day you take a step, you're walking into a harvest, not the one you created today. The harvest was created back down the line when you planted seed a year ago, or a month ago, or a week ago. And if you ever walk into an area where there's no harvest, you better check your seed planting. You weren't in the rhythm of life. This is why disciplined living and disciplined giving is so important. Oh, I wonder why all this stuff's happening to me. You know, it's like the devil's after me. People say that a lot. The devil's after me. Well, sometimes it is the devil, but sometimes it's just my own consequences are after me. It's not the spirit of the devil. It's the spirit of stupid that's come on you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I better keep on moving. I'll get myself in trouble. Now, I want to tell you something. When we were at Oral Roberts University, Martha and I were at Oral Roberts University, that's the first person that I ever really heard teach, without fail, on the principle of the seed. I mean, that is Oral's message. Oral Roberts' message, primary message, is on seed time and harvest. And I have to admit to you, I was saved. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I loved God with all my heart, but I was not into the rhythm of disciplined living and disciplined giving. I knew how to see miracles once in a while, and I would give, I'm talking financially, I would give financially as I felt led. The problem is you had to be really good for me to feel led. And I kid around a lot about that, you know, because a lot of people, they feel led. Yeah, they got led in their britches. They ain't going to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? And they feel led a lot. And sometimes I've threatened to take, I told the ushers one time, I said, I'm going to take a strip of lead and mount it on the offering plate. And every person who needs to feel led, they can just reach up and go, woo, 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 and feel led, and then they might give. Oh, don't look like I'm preaching so good. Amen. Yeah. And I was not a tither. I was not a disciplined giver. And I started hearing Oral Roberts teach about the rhythm of seed time and harvest. And that you need to make up your mind that you are going to plant seed whether you feel like it, whether it's a rainy day, whether it's a good day, a bad day. You are going to be a giver, not just financially, but in every way, to the point that you see your very life as a seed sown for the kingdom of God. Amen. My words are seeds. My actions are seeds. And when you begin to see everything in life from the seed principle, it begins to answer a lot of questions why people are reaping what they are reaping. And we blame a lot of things on the devil when the truth of it is we ought to just be men enough, women enough to face up to, you know what? A lot of what's happening to me is my own decisions, and I need to start making new decisions if I want a new crop. Praise God. All right, seed time and harvest. Everybody say seed time and harvest. Before we leave that, I want you to make a note of that. In verse 22, it says, it shall not cease. Honey, you are not the exception to this principle. You are not the exception to the principle of seed time and harvest. You will reap what you sow. Not what I sow, you're going to reap what you sow. Go with me to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Well, Oral taught on that and taught on that and taught on that. And I'm telling you what, as a student, I finally got it. I finally saw it, and I said, Lord, I am going to become a person who is a tither, who is a giver. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not analyzing it. I'm obeying. And it just so happens. Everybody say, it just so happens. Oh, yeah. It just so happens that at that point, I can identify when my life began to get on track with regular, consistent harvest in my life. Oh, there's a connection. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. I want you to circle the term captivity there. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4. Turn again our captivity. Circle the word captivity. Everybody say captivity. Everybody say the term captivity. He says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Now here it is, verse 5. They that sow in tears, underline the word sow. They that sow in tears shall reap, underline the word reap. Reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeping, bearing, underline this, precious seed. One version says a seed basket. I mean, this person's got a basket full of seed and they're going out there sowing, maybe in tears. Maybe right now what they're experiencing isn't the greatest. They're sowing, as it were, in tears. But notice the promise, verse 6. Bearing precious seed shall doubtless. Everybody say doubtless. Oh, no, no, there's no doubt about it, honey. There is no doubt in the Spirit about this. It is a consistent principle. Shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, he got the harvest off of his seed. Now you see, my duty as a pastor is to feed the flock of God. Is that not right? My primary duty is to feed the flock of God. Beyond that is to give general oversight so that the flock has their needs ministered to. But I will tell you this, my desire is to see every person in this church and the people that come to this church, that they will discover the rhythm to life. Because if they don't discover the rhythm to life, and we're not just talking money, I said we're talking the words you say, the actions you do. So many people job hop. They go from job to job to job. They can't keep a consistent job because they don't realize their bad attitudes on the job are defeating them. And somebody needs to tell them to grow up. It's time for you to respect authority. It's time for you, even if you don't agree with what they are asking you to do the job as unto the Lord and trust God to take care of your situation. To tell them otherwise would be to just prolong their agony. Now tell them the seeds you sow in your attitudes, the seeds you sow in your words, and yes, even financially, the seeds you sow financially are connected to the future harvest that you're going to have one day. Oh, it's all through the Bible, the biblical principle. Well, look at verse 6. Doubtless, come again rejoicing. How many of you want to live a life of rejoicing? You're going to have to get into the rhythm of seed time and harvest. Go with me to Matthew 17. Now, this is the verse that Oral used that really, I guess, is the time I had the breakthrough. When I just finally saw it, it became simple to me that, oh, you mean faith is a seed. Faith is not a feeling. Now, there's times I feel a prayer of faith. But faith is not a feeling. Faith is not an emotion. Faith is a seed that I sow. And when I finally discovered that, it made faith so simple. Matthew 17, go to verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast it out?" Now, in that case, it was the devil. I want to ask you something. How many of you have ever had a situation that you just, why won't this work out? Am I the only one in here? Oh, there's been many times. Why can't I seem to get this? I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done everything I know to do. And finally it dawns on me, one thing I haven't done is I have not planted a specific seed over that need. I want you to write that thought down. Planting a specific seed over that need. Or used to put it this way, you need to name your seed. Name your seed. Well, I just don't believe in that. Well, just go down to the nursery sometime and just say, "I'd like to buy some seed." Well, what kind of seed you want? Oh, it don't matter. I just want some seed. It does matter. You've got certain things that you want growing in your yard, certain things you don't want growing in your yard. They say, name your seed. What's the seed name? Well, the seed name is, this tree, this shrub, this flower. That's what I want. Everybody say, "That's what I want." You name your seed. Then they give you the seed that has the right name. Why? Because the name is attached to the genetic makeup of that seed. That seed will produce after its kind. You don't go out there and say, "I realize that these are the seeds of weeds, but the soil knows what I want." Well, that's dumb. That's like a farmer planting pansies and hoping to get corn. Well, my intentions are right and the soil knows what I need. Yeah, you'll get pansies. You pansy you. You're going to get pansies. I don't know why people say, pansy, because pansies are pretty strong flowers. They seem to endure all types of cold. I don't know where that came from. That's another thing. All right, verse 20. You think about these things sometimes. Why do we say things? Verse 20, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you..." Now watch what he says, how he defines faith. "If you have faith as a feeling..." Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. "If you have faith as an emotion... If you twirl and spin and ricochet off walls, then it'll happen." Oh, I'm messing with you now. Because see, now you know, I'm playing with you. But some people, they really go through all kinds of incantations to try to work up faith. They could do a National Geographic study on it. And it wouldn't be a whole lot different than some of the natives of these faraway countries. Really. He says, "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed." I want you to mark this. If you have faith as a seed. Faith as a seed. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
As a seed. Everybody say seed faith.
Faith
seed.
Seed faith.
You getting this? If you turn your faith into a seed, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So there's all different levels of challenges that we're going to face. Some of them you're not going to get the breakthrough unless you use faith like a seed. Some of them you're going to have to go beyond just faith as a seed. You're going to have to mix in fervent prayer and fasting and pressing in and seeking God. Luke chapter 6. Are you learning anything? Luke chapter 6. Oh, it was a great day in my life and in Martha's life when we finally discovered, you know, there's a rhythm to life. We've not been in the rhythm. It's like being in the river, but we haven't been in the flow of the river. We're off to the side. Oh yeah, I'm in the life of God. I've got men or two, but I'm in the river of life, but I need to get over there where the current is. I know one thing we like to do every year, I highly recommend this, is you need to go to Helen, Georgia, and rent inner tubes and just float down the Chattahoochee. We love doing that. And sometimes you drag bottom if you know what I'm saying. So be sure and wear, tennis shoes so you can get up and get yourself out of your mess. But there's parts of that Chattahoochee River where, I mean, if you just catch the river right and if the water's high enough, it is a thrill. It is a blast. You're just kind of going through the rocks, and there's one place we always stop, right there in front of the Hellendorf. Is that what it is? And we get back and we go around and we go around and we go around and we ride that thing. Martha, she's unending. We have to finally say, "Honey, it's time to go." She loves riding that little loop-de-loop deal right there. But there's a part of the river that can be slow if you're not in the current. Anybody's life in here been slow? I mean, you know you love God. You know you're walking with the Lord. There's no doubt about that. But things are just slow. Well, what you got to do is you got to get your inner tube, stand up, walk across over there, get over there where the current is, and plop back down and get in the flow. Everybody say, "Get in the flow." "Well, I don't want to." Well, then you can stay there and, you know, you'll turn your tube in next year. It's going to take you that long to get down. But you got to find the flow. Where is the flow? The flow is in this idea of seed faith, of seed time and harvest. Look at verse 38. Most of you could probably quote it. This is a principle, not just money. Remember, biblical prosperity does not focus on money, though it involves your money. Biblical prosperity is spirit, soul, body, social, financial. Every area of your life, God wants to prosper. And the seed is true. Look at verse 38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Everybody say, "Praise God."
Praise God.
Well, is that true? Do you really praise God? Or what have you been giving? Because you may not want it to be given unto you what you've been given. Verse 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure," underline this, "for with the same measure that you meet, shall it be measured to you again." Stingy giver, stingy harvest. Big giver, big harvest. Give and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. Say it. Give and it shall. Say it again. Give and it shall. Now, and here's where I take odds with some so-called prosperity teachers. You go hear some prosperity teachers and they teach similar things to what we're teaching here, but they teach it kind of in a gimmick format. And the gimmick is this. If you will sow a large gift, particularly in my offering that we're about to receive, then all your problems will magically go away. And I will tell you, there are people that go to prosperity meetings, name it and claim it meetings, and there's a hyper predestinationism, there is a hyper prosperity emphasis that gives people the feeling that all I've got to do is put a big gift in this offering and all my problems go away. That is not Bible. That is not Bible. Well, what is Bible? What is Bible is that there is a rhythm to life called seed time and harvest, but just like it's going to take some time for a farmer to turn his situation around, it's going to take some time for you to turn yours around. One offering isn't going to do it. Any more than one seed out there is going to turn a farmer's bankruptcy situation around. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. Disciplined living and disciplined giving. But the good news is this, if you'll get in the flow of things, yes, God will help you turn your life around. Just like we read in Psalm 126, God will turn your captivity absolutely around, but it's not going to be a one-shot, get-rich-quick gimmick that's going to do it. And so, you know, my motivation today is not to get a big offering today. That is not my motivation. For several reasons. One, a big offering today isn't going to do for WOCC what we need done. What we need in this church, and we have a great start on that, is that we need disciples of the Lord who are in the flow of disciplined living and disciplined giving. And that's why we've been able to make such progress like we have, because we have so many of our membership that are already in this flow. But I also will be honest with you, I know for a fact that there are some that need a little bit of push. I need to pick up my inner tube and come over there and get you. Just kind of waddle. You know that big old inner tube? You just kind of waddle over there and just say, hey, you're not in the flow. The flow's over there. This is where all the trash and the cans and all that gooey stuff. Snake! Just say that to them. Snake! Ah! There'll be pickup running over there. Ryan did that to one person one time when he was little. He was just going down the river yelling snake to everybody. Half the women on the river were having heart attacks that day. Hallelujah. That's not too far off the course. You don't want to be over there where the devil has access to your life. You want to be in the flow, in the main stream of what God has. Verse 38, give and it shall be given. Say it. Give and it shall be given. Say it. Give and it shall. Now, I just want to ask you, do you believe that?
Yes.
I said, do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, then examining what have I been giving is connected to what I will be receiving. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. I remember when we were, again, at Oral Roberts University, and we were very involved in a home group ministry at the time, Galatians 6. I remember there was a couple, oh, what was their names? He played the guitar, and I remember, you remember what their name? David Stearman. David, and I think her name was Diane. David and Diane Stearman were expecting their first child. And like a lot of young couples, they hadn't thought about insurance and this type of thing. And so they didn't have the money for the coming pregnancy. And once you're pregnant, it's too late to get the insurance and on you go. Well, this will be laughable today. But in those days, $2,000 was a lot of money. And that's what it took basically to have the prenatal care and all this kind of stuff. $2,000. And I can remember everybody was praying and everybody was rebuking and binding. Nobody was giving, you know. And it's kind of like something that Joseph... Kennedy said at one of our meetings, he said, you know, I'm a practical guy. I like to do something. And so all the money we had in the whole world saved up. We had $2,000, Martha and I. We didn't have children at the time. But we wanted children. And we also understood through some medical situations that we had to face that it was going to be difficult for us to have children. And so we thought, what better opportunity to sow some seed to somebody in need right now. And we're just going to name that seed, and that seed will come back in the form of our family being blessed. Well, we gave the whole $2,000 to them. Of course, everybody rejoiced and felt like we'd had a big breakthrough, you know. I knew that it was my harvest coming. It wasn't their harvest. It was my harvest coming. Because I had sowed the seed. And the evidence is sitting on the front row today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I could just tell you story after story of when I finally learned that there's a rhythm to life. I never need to be afraid of sowing seed. I never need to be afraid of sowing seed because my seed is going to end up being a harvest for my need. Galatians 6, go with me to verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, that doesn't mean sit down and chit-chat with him. That means give him something to help him. So, you know, if Jeff Hidden, he's not here today, he's out ministering at a church here in town. But if Jeff Hidden, you know, were here speaking and ministering, then we should receive an offering to bless Jeff and to help his ministry. That's what that's talking about. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Everybody say, God is not mocked. Now, you got to understand this because there's a tendency in your life to feel like you're the exception. That's called deception. That's not the exception. That is the deception. The deception is, you know, I don't really need to be a giver. I don't need to be a tither. I don't need to get into that thing pastor's preaching on for disciplined living, disciplined giving. That's for other folks. I'm different. No, you're not, and God will not be mocked. It says in verse 7, for whatsoever a man sows, something different shall he reap. Ooh, you better watch me. I'll slip it in on it. Look at verse 7. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall receive what he hoped he would receive. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. That shall he also reap. If you plant corn, now honey, I know it's Sunday morning, but this ain't rocket science. If you plant corn, you're going to get
corn.
You're with me. Amen. Praise God. We're together. If you've got an apple tree, you can expect to get
apples.
If you have nothing in the ground, you can expect to get
money.
Dirt. That's it. Look at verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now notice in verse 6, he's dealing specifically with money. He's talking about an offering. But he gets over and he's generalized now. He's saying, this is true in every area, not just the offering for the speaker. He's saying, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How many of you want to reap life? Now, young people, listen to me. We've got the teens and the young people in here today. This is a hard lesson to learn. I'll be the first to admit this. One of the last strongholds in my life was my tunes. Don't mess with my tunes. And, you know, listening to the wrong kind of music. Now, if you really believe what we just read, look back at that verse. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? So if I allow the wrong tunes coming into me all the time, worldly stuff, sexual things, violent things, songs, today songs are just filled with cursing and filthy words, filthy word pictures. If I allow that to come into me, go to movies and feed on this, you may think it won't affect you. That's called deception. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, the greatest garden that you have is not in the WOCC account. The greatest garden you have is not in the Stearman's who are expecting a child account. The greatest garden that you have, write this down, is your heart. And so the first place that you need to learn to sow properly is I've got to make sure I'm having the right seed sown in my heart. Because out of the heart the mouth speaketh, but also out of the heart are the issues of life. Amen. Biblical prosperity doesn't start on the outside. It starts on the inside and then it works its way out. And so young people, I would challenge you. to consider, what are you allowing to come into your life? Adults, I want to challenge you. What are you allowing to come into the heart, the garden of your heart? Because that will affect your prosperity or lack thereof. Look at verse 8 again. But he that sows to the Spirit, hallelujah, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what?
Reap.
Circle the word reap. So you see, seed time and harvest from Genesis all the way to the New Testament, and I've just hit some of the high points, is a theme that is carried through the whole Bible. Now quickly, I want to give you three miracle keys for seed faith living. And these are what I learned while I was at Oral Roberts University. And I can promise you, for me, they're not just head knowledge. This is the way I endeavor to live. I want to give you three miracle keys for seed faith living. How many of you want to get into the rhythm of life of seed time and harvest? Number one, first key, write this down. Make God your source of supply. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, there's a freedom when you finally realize no man is my source, God is my source. I don't have to go around kissing up to everybody, hoping they're going to do something for me. God is my source. Number one, make God your source of supply. Quickly, follow me. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Now, this is the book that we're presently going verse by verse through in our Wednesday nights. So I'm going to give you a little sneak preview here. But Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19 really captures this thought, which is all through the Scriptures, that God's your source. Mark this in your Bible if it's not marked. Verse 19. But my bank shall supply all my needs. My employer shall supply all my needs. Ooh, I'm going to mess with you now. My wife shall supply all my needs. My husband shall supply all my needs. Anybody with me?
Yes.
Who's going to supply your needs?
God.
I'm sorry, I got five of you. What?
God.
But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You mark that in your Bible and never forget it. The first miracle key for seed faith living is you got to get your eyes on the right source. God can use your wife, God can use the bank, God can use your husband, God can use your employer, God can use all these things, but there's only one source. Many channels, but one source, and that is God. More specifically, God who? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one that redeemed the whole earth and all that's therein. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. He's got it all! And guess what? You're plugged into Him as a believer. What does that mean? That means you are plugged into the source. That means you're plugged into the source. Go to chapter 1, Philippians 1. We looked at this verse in our last Wednesday night session, but I want to mention it to you again. Look at verse 19. Paul said, he's talking about his imprisonment in Rome. I'm in chapter 1, Philippians 1, verse 19. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation..." And he mentioned several things, through your prayer and, mark this, the supply of what? Oh, there it is again, the same idea, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope. In other words, I've got to have faith in the supply of the Spirit. Now, as I look these up, let me give you the two Greek words or the ideas in these two passages. In Philippians 4:19, the word for supply, it's the word plero. P-L-E-R-O-O. It means, I love it when I look this up, but my God shall supply all your need. It means to furnish, to cram, and to fill up. Everybody say to cram. He's going to cram the supply on you. It's like Luke. He's going to press it down, shake it together, and make it running over. God has more than enough. Now, you need to get rid of this idea that, you know, that you're in the back of the line waiting, kind of like, you know, well, I think most of our young ones are out, so I want to make sure I didn't get myself in trouble. But it's like when you go see Santa Claus, you know, you're waiting in line. Get rid of that idea. A lot of people, they envision God like that. It's like, man, I'm in the back of the line and Gosh, I see Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and Kenneth Copeland up. There's not going to be anything left when I get up there. Honey, God is everywhere in the same place all the time. God is everywhere all the time. You're not in a line. You have direct connection. You're connected to God in the factory. You're connected to God in the church house. You're connected to God in the home. You're connected to God on the school campus. And the supply is yours instantly. God is not a computer that gets overloaded. Well, I don't think we should pray about things like that because God is busy holding the universe together. As if he's, you know, up there juggling things. Like, don't bother me now. That's a pretty small picture of God. Philippians 1:19, where it says supply, it's a different Greek word. I love it. It means to be a dance or choir leader. A dance or choir leader. You ever seen a choir leader? They're orchestrating. They're giving emphasis when this needs to happen, when that needs to happen. God is orchestrating the supply for you. God is moving in this area. You look to God, He'll move that section. He'll move that employer. He'll do this. He will orchestrate things for you. And furthermore, He's dancing while He's doing it. He's doing a little victory dance. Oh yeah, I got supply. Come on. Doing the little Jason Peebles hop. Hey, yeah. All right. Number one, make God your source of supply. Number two, the second key for seed faith living. And this is where most people fail. Most people don't have a problem with what I just said. In fact, as long as you just say God, most non-Christians don't have a problem with that. You say Jesus Christ, and then you limit some people there. But number two, I want you to write this down. Release your faith by planting seeds of faith. Release your faith by planting seeds of faith. In other words, put it to you this way, faith must take action. David had a sling. He didn't just think about it, did he? Peter had a boat that he loaned to Jesus. He didn't just observe. I remember a little boy who had a lunch, who gave his lunch, and then there were suddenly 12 basketfuls left over. I remember a God who had a son who so loved the world that he gave his son. And I want to tell you something. In your life, you're going to have to learn in every situation how to turn your faith more than a wish, more than a thought, more than a hope, more than a dream. You're going to have to turn your faith into a seed. Yeah. I remember when our children were first coming along and we had a car that it was all right, but it wasn't going to be what we really desired to have to haul around all that our children were going to require. And so I had a need. Anybody in here ever had a need? And I was working, this is when we were in our other complex, office complex, when we were leasing. And there was a guy who worked there. He was the maintenance guy. And he came in one day and he was very down. And he was talking about how he'd been in prison. And he'd just been released from prison, and he was trying to make his family work, but he was having to take the bus to come to work. And I'm sitting there listening to all this, and the Holy Ghost begins to deal with me and says, I want you to give him your car. Now, when you hear things like that, how many of you know that your flesh has a lot of reasoning? Well, I'll tell you what, after I get my good car, then I'll give him this car. Well, he's been in prison. I'm not sure he even has a driver's license. Oh, your flesh is crafty. Your flesh will even quote scriptures. Oh, you want to be in unity with your wife? Don't do anything hasty here. Or talk to your wife about that. And make a long story short, we gave him our car. Just gave him our car outright. I'm not talking a good deal. So I called him in there one day. I remember his name was Jerry. I said, Jerry, I need to talk with you. He came into my office, and he thought I was going to give him a list of things that needed to be done around the complex or something. And I said, man, Jerry, I've got a need. I got a big need. And I said, you know, we're getting ready to have a child, and there's things that I desire, and I don't have enough money really for the delivery. And he was looking at me like, you know, you're talking to a guy who just got out of prison. I don't need to be hearing all this. I said, I have such a need. that I have to plant a seed. That's when he kind of went cross-eyed. And I had the title all out and everything, and I said, do you like my car out there? And he said, which one is it? And I said, it's that station wagon over there. He goes, well, yeah, I like it. I said, it's yours. He goes, now, he said, look, I don't have any money. He said, you know, I said, no, I'm not talking about buying it. I said, I'll give it to you. I signed it over to him, gave him the keys. He went out and he drove around. And he went home and he got his wife and his two children. And he came back up to the office. And you would have thought somebody had given $1 million. Those children grabbed my legs. And they just began to hug me. And I'm telling you what, that was reward enough. But I learned that when God speaks to you, you obey God. You obey God. I'm telling you, God covered all the money we needed for the delivery. God covered the need. We got a much nicer vehicle eventually. But I look back and it's because of the idea of seed, time, and harvest. I've told many of you the twin-engine airplane that we have out here at McCollum Airport that I just flew to Florida and back. The Lord had dealt with me a few months actually out from the time the guy gave it to us. The guy gave us this twin-engine airplane. Not a good deal, not a good buy. Gave it to us. But before that, the Lord had spoke to me and He said, I want you to plant a large seed into such and such a ministry. And you've heard me tell the story, some of you, that person who is in charge of that ministry, can you believe this, had said something negative about one of my tapes. That's big stuff, man. Had said something negative about, and it had got back to me. And when the Lord said, I want you to plant a seed into their ministry, my flesh rose up and said, wait a minute now. Oh, that's the person who said something negative about your teaching tape. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, that's why you need to give Him a big gift. Because you've got a bad attitude towards them. I said, well, we'll just can this right now. I'll go then this, submit this to Martha. You know, you get real into the whole family order, you know, when you want to make sure something, you kill something, you know. So I went in there and said, honey, I said, you know, I feel like the Lord's told me to plant a seed into this ministry. And, you know, it's most of what we have in our reserve. And I'm not sure I really should do this. And Martha, she said, I don't have time to really analyze it. Just obey God. And I said, well, don't you want to like pray about it, or we could go into a fast, you know, that's always a good thing to do. No, do it. We planted that seed. Well, it just so happened. Everybody say, it just so happened. It just so happened that the plane we had been believing for, thinking maybe one day, a guy in Florida who had ministered to 16 years prior called me up and gave us a twin-engine airplane. The day that plane came off the assembly line, it was $1 million, handed us the key, and said, be blessed. And after that happened, the Holy Ghost said, do you remember that seed that you sowed to such and such a ministry? See, I didn't make the connection. And I said, yeah. He said, if you had disobeyed me in that, this plane would have gone to another ministry. Honey, don't you tell me that your harvest isn't connected to the seeds you plant. I'll give you one other example before I give you this third key. The other example is, I remember when I was teaching in Jacksonville, Florida, at a Bible school called Calvary Bible School International. I did not know that one boy that was in the crowd, whose name was David. Let's just call him David. I did not know who he was. And it just so happened. Everybody say, it just so happened. It just so happened that the Holy Spirit had me call him out and minister over him. And we got a connection going. And I was carless down there. I'd flown down there, didn't have a car. And so he let me start borrowing his car. And we just kind of developed a little bit of relationship here, you know. And so he said, you know, have you ever heard my mama teach? I said, no, I never heard your mama teach. And I said, where does she teach? Well, she teaches on the radio. And I said, oh, well, you know, I don't really listen to the radio that much, you know. And so I just dismissed it and went on about my business. Well, just so happened that when I was in the St. Louis area many years later, I had a desire to go visit the Joyce Meyer Ministries headquarters. But how can you get in to see anybody at the Joyce Meyer headquarters because you don't know anybody? I called over there, and the next thing I know, this voice came on, and he says, "Is this Jason Peebles?" I said, "Yeah, this is Jason Peebles. Is this the Jason Peebles who taught at Calvary Bible School International in Jacksonville?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm David. I'm Joyce's son. I'm the guy that you ministered over, and you got my car, and we drove out." I said, you're that David? "Oh, yeah, I'm that David." He said, "Come on." He said, "My mama's here, and she will see you." Oh, seed time and harvest. Everybody say seeds. Now, it's not like you go around trying to manipulate things, and that's where people get off with the wrong attitude. You're not giving to get. You're giving to advance the cause of Christ. But in your giving, you have faith that the Bible is so, and that is, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You just simply receive the promises that God has. It's a wonderful way to live. In fact, it's a very exciting way to live. Because there's never a time that I give money or my time or my energies or helping someone in a certain way that I don't in the spirit and consciously just say, "Lord, I sow this right now. I desire to be a seed in this world, even as Jesus was a seed." And the times I forget that, I say, "Lord, forgive me. I want to begin to see this as a seed, not a debt that I owe. It's a seed that I sow." It's a very freeing thing. The only way that you're ever going to get out of manna survival mode, the only way that you're ever going to move out of the breakthrough from time to time mode and get into the more than enough rhythm is you're going to have to understand seed time and harvest. Number three, let me give you the third miracle key quickly. The third miracle key is to expect a harvest of blessings from the seeds that you sow. Expect a harvest of blessings from the seeds that you sow. And I want to give you two footnotes on this. Number one, the nature of a seed is to multiply. Is that not so? The nature of the seed. The seed, you wouldn't dare plant one seed of corn and expect to get one kernel. Honey, it wouldn't be worth it. Just eat the seed. So the nature of a seed is to multiply. Number two, I want you to write this down. God will multiply His grace in your life. And here's really the true riches. God will multiply His grace in your life. One final passage. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In fact, I've asked the worship team in just a moment when they come back, we're going to be singing from this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here is another passage on seed time and harvest that relates, watch this, that relates your giving to God's grace. Now this confuses some people. Are you with me? I said your giving is connected to God's grace. Well, wait a minute, that sounds contradictory because you can't buy God's grace. I didn't say you bought God's grace. It activates God's grace. Big difference. It activates God's grace. It's like the switch on the wall. When I flip the switch on the wall, that didn't buy the electricity. Somebody else has to pay for that. It just activates the electricity. Well, God's paid your bill, but if you want to get it activated, you're going to have to get into the rhythm of seed time and harvest. If you don't, you will be stuck in the survival mode for the rest of your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, go to verse 6. I want to read this from the Amplified. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Three of you, are you with me?
Yes.
All right, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, he will also reap generously and with blessings. Verse 7. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8. And God is able. Now, notice the connection between your giving of verse 6 and 7 and verse 8. God is able to make, circle it, all grace. Everybody say all grace. Now watch this. When I give, I need a whole lot more than just money that can come back to me. Here's another issue I have with so-called prosperity teachers, the hundredfold. I do believe in the hundredfold return, but that doesn't mean that every dollar that I give, I want it back in dollar form. Are you hearing me? You need to hear this. Because the things that I really hold dear, money can't buy. You know, as Ryan begins to seek God about what college he should go to, and then one day Joanna, she's got to make decisions like that. And I'm trusting God to lead them and show them and guide them His plan for their life. I can't go to a store and buy that with money. I can't buy harmony between my wife and I. That's something that I have to have God's grace to work into that relationship. And so, it says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace. And here's what the Amplified says. Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good and charitable donation. As it is written, He scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness, kindness and benevolence go on and endure forever. Verse 10, and God who provides seed for the sower and bread for the eating will also provide and multiply your sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Is that good or what? He's saying there that the grace of God, the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The enabling power of God. The strength of God in my life to live the Christian life. To get along with people. To see the doors of favor opened up that need to be opened. All that God can and will do is connected to my attitude towards sowing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Everybody say it's easy.
It's easy.
You know, it's so easy a child can get this. It's so easy that a child can get this. And that's why Jesus used so often the seed principle. The farmers, the agricultural people of His day, they knew you put a seed in the ground, you can expect it to come up. Everybody say this, God is my source.
God is my source.
I will plant seeds.
I will plant seeds.
I will expect miracles. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I want you to prepare your offerings. There should be envelopes in your bulletins. If you would take the envelopes out and prepare your tithes and offerings. If you need an envelope, maybe you did not get one, if you will raise your hand at this time. Anyone need an envelope to participate in our time of giving? Lift your hand. Please make checks payable to World Outreach Christian Center or simply WOCC. And here's how we're going to do this. I want everybody to participate in some way. Everybody can participate in some way. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come up here with the containers. And as we sing this song, we're really going to be singing what we just read, that God is able. God is able to multiply your seed sown. I want you to come in. I want you to put your gift in. And as you put it in, I want you just to whisper a prayer and say, I'm learning to sow seeds of faith. I'm learning to sow seeds of faith. What are we going to say? I'm learning to sow seeds of faith. And then as we go back to our seat, I want to spend just a moment of worship before the Lord. And then we're going to pray a prayer of expectancy, of breakthroughs for your life. Do you have your offerings ready? Everybody got them ready? Father, we just thank You for what You're teaching us. Thank You for biblical prosperity that starts on the inside. But Lord, we don't want to keep it there. We want that inside blessing to change our lives on the outside. Lord, teach us to sow seed, not just financial seed, but teach us to sow seeds of the Spirit in the words we say, the actions we do, the life we live. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's begin to worship. Just hold off coming for just